The latest on the money embedded in those Iowa caucus numbers. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. On this morning, after all the caucusing in Iowa, a top tier of candidates is emerging. Cruz, Trump, Rubio on one side, Clinton and Sanders on the other. Underneath these showings is money, often from what are called super PACs. They're playing a larger role than ever before in the arms race for political funding, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Just to review, super PACs are outside groups, non-campaign committees that can take multi-million dollar donations. We've seen $7 million from Wall Street financier George Soros and $10 million from insurance mogul Hank Greenberg's company. And to get an idea how important they are today, consider Iowa winner Ted Cruz. His campaign has raised $46 million directly, but super PACs backing him have raised $38 million. Michael Beckel is with the Center for Public Integrity.
They've almost collectively raised as much money as the candidates in the presidential race combined, and that's in part because super PACs are allowed to collect unlimited donations. 4 years ago, it was a totally different story.
He says the combined war chests give more candidates more staying power through 2016. Democrat Bernie Sanders has already said he's going to stay in through the nominating convention. Still, outside money doesn't buy everything. Several Republicans with big super PAC backing have already dropped out. And the biggest winner in the super PAC money war is fading right now, Jeb Bush. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
There's news today that unemployment across the countries that use the euro moved down to their lowest point in 4 years, with Germany and the Czech Republic looking especially strong. Yet, the labor markets in Spain and Greece are still a mess, with the jobless rates there reported today still soaring above 20%, the legacy of the debt crisis there and the austerity policies that continue to bite. Many Greeks blame fellow European countries and the International Monetary Fund for imposing overly tough conditions in return for a financial rescue. The IMF is considered the world's lender of last resort, and there's a persistent debate about whether the IMF helps or hurts when it comes to these rescues. I spoke to the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, who was in Massachusetts on a panel about the gap between rich and poor in the world. Madame Lagarde, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
You were on a panel at Wellesley College this weekend. The topic was economic inequality around the world and how to reduce it. Do you worry that your activities at the IMF sometimes contribute to inequality?
What we've been trying for the last 4 years is to actually focus on the impact of inequality. And our conclusion is twofold. One is excessive inequality hurts sustainable growth and therefore has to be tackled. And second, good redistribution policies, well designed, well implemented, are actually not hurting growth.
Talk about some other strategies for reducing inequality around the world. How, as a practical matter, does a country pursue the notion of narrowing the gap between the kind of wealth that women have and what men earn?
I'll give you two examples. One in the advanced economies is, first of all, make sure that the tax system is designed in such a way that individuals are taxed, not families. Because typically when families are taxed, the second income earner is much more heavily taxed than the first income earner, and that is usually the woman. Second, still in the advanced economies, it is very important to have childcare centers in sufficient amount and sufficiently funded so that it helps women eventually choose to enter the job market. Now, if you look at the situation of low-income countries, it's going to be completely different. And what will matter is infrastructure, whether or not people have access to water, whether women have to walk for miles and miles to get water, and education for all, not just boys, but girls, and at the level that actually empowers those little girls that will eventually one day enter the job markets of those low-income countries.
Infrastructure and education.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask about your tenure. You have powerful supporters behind you for a new term as head of the IMF, yet there is a legal case in France that could mean a trial for you. How do you gauge your chances of serving a new term as managing director there?
Well, I'm very determined to serve a new term, and I'm not being distracted by that case, which is based on negligence and which has very political ramifications. So the matter will proceed according to what is legally right, but I'm fully confident that I can discharge my job, and I have the full trust of the board of the institution to that end.
11 European people in a row have run the IMF. How do you respond to those who say it's perhaps time for a non-European to run the International Monetary Fund?
Well, first of all, I would say that I hope that we did a good job, and we will do a good job, because I think what matters at the end of the day is that the institution be well run. And if it is a non-European, somebody from a low-income countries, somebody from an emerging market economies, or from an advanced economies, as long as that person is capable of running the institution well, that's what matters most.
Christine Lagarde, Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lagarde is often considered the most powerful woman in the world. The decision on whether Lagarde stays on or the IMF brings in a new managing director is expected a month from tomorrow. There's news today of an easing of at least some of the airborne austerity in economy class. American Airlines is bringing back free pretzels and other snacks after charging for them since 2003. Years ago, while interviewing an airline CEO, I noted it was dinner time and asked the Southwest Airlines boss if he had eaten yet. He had not. On behalf of all economy class airline passengers, at mealtime, I then handed the CEO half a peanut. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.